Today we're talking with Lupe Salazar, the director behind Barrios Unidos Chimayo. So thanks for talking with us today, Lupe.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
Tell us a little bit about what Barrios Unidos Chimayo does. I notice on the webpage it says Carencia, and maybe you could tell us a little about that as well.
Well, thank you. I certainly will. Barrios Unidos was birthed out of frustration, the many different links that were broken in our community. What we do here at Barrios is we help individuals that are struggling with their addiction. We support families shattered from or by the addictions, re-engaging community through the spirit of Carencia. And when I say that, I mean we have so much stigma and discrimination for those struggling, whether it's addiction, mental health, behavioral health. And Carencia was, you know, just knowing that there is a place where people belong, they're needed, and they're wanted. So all along, you know, all through our journey with Barrios, that has been the idea, to reawaken the spirit of Carencia, so that, because it does take like a whole village to, you know, to support an individual. And that's what we're here to do.
What are the specific things you do to uphold that spirit of Carencia and help people out?
What a beautiful question. First of all, we're open 7 days a week. Mm-hmm. And for a nonprofit, that's kind of a little crazy. But in my walk with my son, when he needed help or when he was looking for support, it wasn't, you know, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. It was after hours. And so that's one of the things that, you know, makes us a little unique. We have, we've sparked dialogue so that we can talk. We have connection with community as well as dialogue. So, you know, some of the things that we do here that are like up on the charts are food distribution. So we do that twice a month, as well as emergency food boxes during the week. We are open from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And then, of course, you know, the phones are available. We have something, and the food that we get is through the Food Depot in Santa Fe, as well as diapers. One of the huge projects that we have are grandparents raising grandchildren. And I know that, you know, forever, as long as anybody can remember, grandparents were the supplemental support for families. But because of this opioid crisis, grandparents have shifted and taken on the whole responsibility. So the majority of these grandparents have little to no support with their grandchildren. So what we do is we find sources, we find ways to provide, you know, a little bit of support, you know, whether it's with hygiene, cleaning products, something for the children. You know, that is our goal, is to be able to let these grandparents know how much they're appreciated and how much they're needed. We also have peer support. I am a certified peer support worker. So, you know, we can do peer support here, one-on-ones. We do street outreach, which is very important because, we have a very vulnerable population that is homeless out there and really struggling. So we do our best to bring them support. We have a burrito outreach that goes out every Sunday. The majority of the people that come are from White Rock, and it's an amazing crew. They make fresh homemade burritos. And we stay out by the shoe depot by Walmart in Española, and we give them out. And it's not necessarily to only just people that are homeless, but to community. And that is what we wanted, to be able to engage community so that individuals out there aren't alienated. You know, there's a reason why people struggle, and to get to the root cause to help them to get through this is something something that's really amazing. So we have that. We have a lot of holistic healing paradigms, I guess I would like to say it that way. Before COVID, we had Sweat Lodge 2 or 3 times a month. Now it's just like by family. We have AA that meets here every Saturday. That is their own entity, but they do have they do meet here in Chimayo. We have just different projects with different organizations that have funded us now through COVID. So, you know, NewMexicoWomen.org. We're starting a project with the young girls of color. We are starting National Latino Behavioral Health. We have a project going on with them. Let me see. I have a little list here, Mike.
All right.
It's it goes on. You know, there's just we're starting a new project with this one's a private funder, but it will be on healing transformative justice. And you know, that's just in the making. So we're barely getting our feet wet with that. But we try to, you know, be of support to other organizations, and then in turn they turn around and support Barrios. So right now the majority of our Cadencia projects is to keep that connection, especially now through COVID, because, you know, before COVID, we already had this fear from the opioid epidemic, which was never really acknowledged. And so there were so many families suffering silently that when COVID hit, you know, I spoke to, you know, our little crew here at Barrios, and we knew that we needed to stay open as an essential business to let community know that they weren't alone. And so it's worked out really nice. You know, our grandparents really appreciate the support. I know the people out on the street, the homeless people, they really appreciate our support. And the awakening of so many community members reaching out, wanting to know how they could help, is that magic of the, you know, of Cadencia. I get people that come in here and say, well, you know, what can I do? You know, I'm really a little bit afraid to go out there. And I tell them, you know, just smile. When you're passing by, just say hi. You know, it's not going to hurt you. And just being acknowledged. You know, when I was in school, trying to figure out what was wrong in my community, I realized that the individuals struggling from addiction, they were unseen, unwanted, unheard. You know, they were left behind. And, you know, to be out there, you know, sick, without a place to go, scared, you know, that alone is a horrible situation to be in. But then when somebody walks by and they don't even acknowledge you, to me, that was like extremely sad. And so, you know, that's something that we're little by little, I know it's being addressed. So I'm very pleased. And I'm glad that you also mentioned that, because September is recovery celebration, that we celebrate statewide. And I know that last year, or nationwide, actually, I'm sorry. I know last year it was virtual, so we had to do like a video. And so this year, what I'm going to do is reach out to those individuals that are in their sobriety to ask them, you know, what can we do? What could we have done to have assisted you earlier in your, you know, in your situation? And, you know, and maybe moving forward with that, you know, to bring a bigger healing to community.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about the history of Barrios Unidos?
I certainly will. And I get emotional, and I apologize. I still
That's
can't
okay.
put a grasp on that one. My son had just turned 18, and he went to our local jail because the neighbor had bought him a whiskey to fix her vehicle. He was just a kid. He had just turned 18 that summer. And he got a DWI. So when they picked him up and they took him to jail, as a parent, I thought, you know, you go to jail, you pay back your debt to society, and you come out and you're a productive citizen. That was so far from the truth. My son came out of our Española jail, because we had one then at the time, as a drug addict, as a heroin drug addict with track marks and everything. That spiraled out of control with going to the court. You know, we didn't have money for fines. I didn't have money for an attorney. And it just spiraled out of control. And I went to different places, to different individuals here in community to like let them know, you know, I go visit my son on Sunday or on Thursday because those were the visiting days. And sometimes my son was drunk. He learned so much bad things in there. And it was like allowed. And so I thought, you know, I need to figure out how we move forward, because the more I learned, the more my heart hurt, because it wasn't just my son. It was so many in community. And so that's what birthed Barrios. I went back to school at Northern New Mexico College, and it took me 7 years to earn my bachelor's in integrative health science. But along the way, I learned so much to understand that addiction stems from root trauma, you know, the causes. And until we get to that point of understanding that, we're not going to heal. And for the longest time, I would voice to people, you know, these individuals have been stamped and they have a price tag on their back. So while they're down and out, someone is making money. And I thought, no, we can't do that, because that individual walking down the street is someone's son, is someone's dad, is someone's grandson. And then come to find out that incarceration for women had gone up 300% the past few years. And so that made me understand why in Rio Riba County alone, we have 60 to 65% of grandparents and great-grandparents raising grandchildren with little to no support. And it was like, at that time in my life, I thought, my community's comfortable with this, and it's not right. And so the first thing, you know, that we were able to do after we secured the place here at Barrios in Chimayo, because it belongs to the Presbytery of Santa Fe, and they have graciously allowed us to be here. You know, we're going on our fifth year. But to be able to have a safe space, a space where people could come and just, you know, have a cup of coffee, you know, have a warm meal, just a place for them to, like, to be. Yeah. And so with our grandparents, that was like it sparked this beautiful relationship with these grandparents and these moms, you know, their moms. And, you know, we were able to talk and cry and share, you know, our hopes and our dreams. And and that's something that has really grown. And now, like, the grandmothers that we have in our Cadencia group, they're, you know, I don't want to say Barrios did it, but it was in a sense to be able to empower their voice. So, you know, they reach out to other grandmas. And I think that's really nice, because for so long, as a parent from someone struggling, we suffered silently. And the stigma wasn't just for the for the addict. It was for the whole family. And, you know, I remember, you know, going to visit my son in Tierra Maria at the jail, and he would tell me, you know, Mom, don't come out here no more, because I know how the guards treat you. I know how, you know, how awful they treat you when you come out here. He goes, I don't want anything to happen to you. And I remember telling him, you know, mijo, you're my son. You know, and there's this sign as you drive up into Tierra Maria, and it says, tierra o muerte, you know, land or death. And so I would tell him, you know, mijo, I will come until there's no more breath in me. Because family does not turn their back on their, you know, on people that are struggling. That's us norteños, you know. We love our family. We love fierce. And I told him that, no, that I would not stop. And I told him, you know, mijo, you do your time behind your walls, but I do my time behind these other walls that society has put up. And these walls out here need to crumble. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I don't know if I spoke too much. No. Forgive me.
I've got to ask, you know, how's your son now?
He's, you know, by grace, I still have him. He's still struggling, you know. Yeah. We're not there yet. Our current healthcare system is not there yet. You know, we have a MATS program, which is wonderful, medically assisted treatment. Mm-hmm. But we there's more demand than what we're able to support. You know, we aren't there yet with mental health to wrap around the support. You know, just a year or so ago, we only had one psychiatrist in Española, and he was backed up. So it's like we have been on the charts for overdose death in the nation for so long. We're not up on the number, up the top 10 anymore, not because we got better, but because other states got worse. And so, you know, I know that this is probably not something nice to share, but I kept thinking, you know, when another state where these people make a difference or they matter until they get sick, until they struggle like we've been struggling, we're not going to get the support that we need because we haven't. This has been going on for decades, for a long, long time. You know, it's not something that just happened last year, 2 years ago, 4 years ago. You know, we've been going on it for years and years. Yeah. And so I think that, like, with grassroots organizations, with moms that are tired, you know, we're tired of losing our children. You know, it's something that we never will get over. You know, because we hear that, oh, you know, time will heal and you'll get over it. No, you don't. You carry that child in your belly for 9 months and you share a heartbeat. And for you to bury your child because of an addiction where our community was so damn small, we should have embraced it. But what we did was we put stigma, we put shame. And many of our loved ones died all alone by themselves because where would they go? Who would they talk to? And so I just feel that, you know, I'm stubborn. You know, I'm here. You know, even, you know, things get rough, they get tough, they get hard. But I think to myself, you know, all these years that I had to learn to breathe, I had to count the seconds that it was going to take for me to keep breathing so that my son, for when my son came home from prison, he went to prison because of his addiction. You know, he became a number. He became a habitual, and it was because of his addiction. Never did our judicial system think, you know, when they go to jail, are they getting help in there? Is there mental health support or is there more stuff in there? They didn't think about it like that. Many times when my son would come out of jail in Tierra María, he came out dirty in the eyes of the probation. When I mentioned it to the probation, you know, they're giving him this medication in there, they would tell me, why does he open his mouth and take it? And I know so many individuals would tell me, you know, if we don't take our medicine in there, then they put us in this turtle suit. You know, they strip them of their clothes. They put them in this suit. I can't even imagine what it looks like. And they leave them there. And so to many, many, many individuals in Río Arriba County or in the surrounding areas, addiction wasn't something that they chose. It was imposed. And so That's why I was stubborn. That's why I fight, because moms shouldn't have to worry like that. Little kids shouldn't have to go to bed without their parents tucking them in. And that's what happened here. And that's why it's important that we advocate and we scream at the top of our lungs that we are not tolerating this anymore. We need to heal our families. And, you know, sometimes it's little steps, but they're deep steps that leave footprints so that others can follow.
It does sound like Barrios Unidos is taking some of those steps to help people out. The things you said, I don't have anything to add except barriosunidoschimayo.org is the website. Is there anything else you want to say before we finish up, Lupe?
Yes, just when you see someone out there, don't be afraid of them. Someone loves them. And that's how we move forward, by, you know, showing just a little act of kindness. It grows, I promise, it grows. Thank you very much for speaking with me today.
Oh, thank you, Lupe. I really appreciate your willingness to be this open. And, you know, all the best to you.
Thank you very much.